Okay, everybody.
We're back at it again.
Fuck it out. This mic is definitely going to fall off, man. Fuck it. It looks a little bit,
Nah, it's fine.
A little bit too fucking vertical. Okay.
It's not like it's going to get breezy in here. It's all right.
Welcome back to One Game a Day. I hope I am right. It's One Game a Day. This is becoming a legit thing. We are fucking on the interweb somehow.
We are not fucking on the interwebs.
Hmm. We are on the interwebs.
Yes, but we're not fucking on it.
All right, that is true. And well, thank you very much, Byron, for that. I'm your favorite DJ, Mr. Joe Delicious. And I have Byron here, our historian, game historian, and Ray Ray here. And their job has been for the past, 17 episodes, whatever, to try and teach me something about video games. And I have failed at it miserably. So let's fail again. New World! You talked about that last time. Yeah. New World. I think New World was made by Amazon to introduce to people subconsciously the Amazonian rainforest. So they connect with the Amazon product and Amazon Prime better. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a character called Prime. Is that where Optimus Prime comes from?
No.
But, yes.
And also, yeah, I think you're pretty off base on most metrics there, except for Amazon Prime. They definitely made that game to sell Amazon Prime. Like, that's what they want. They want people in that ecosystem.
Yes. But you don't think I'm reading too much into it?
I think there is...
New World, getting people to Amazon.
Like this, right?
Yes.
Amazon has faced quite a lot of backlash due to how much of the Amazon rainforest they have destroyed personally.
How?
That company is responsible for a large part of its destruction.
How?
I don't know. I just remember this being a thing. So...
Are you accusing someone of something?
I have heard the accusation,
right.
But I don't know the details.
Right.
But I know that they have made efforts to say...
But it's such a big company, they're probably going to destroy anything they touch, basically.
Sure, but that's the point. It's like, a bunch of the Amazon gets chopped down for fucking lumber, like, constantly. That's a thing, and they're just part of that process. A lot of companies are part of that process.
Right.
But the idea that they want to draw parallels to the Amazon rainforest is...
That's what I reckon. Like, you played it. I just saw you playing it. Was that New World?
Yeah, I was fishing.
Of course you were. Did you feel like you were in the... Like, subconsciously, did you think, oh, I'm in the Amazonian rainforest?
No. It's 100% not the intent.
Right.
I don't think there was any intent to leverage the name Amazon into... Oh, we are called Amazon. We should put that in the game somewhere. I just don't think the game was made in any aspect of that.
Well, I think you're wrong.
I would challenge you to prove it.
I can't. That's the first connection I had.
That's because you...
And the more I play it, I bet someone's going to say, this is the Amazonian rainforest.
Yeah, no, I don't think people are going to be saying that.
Right.
I think people are going to be saying a lot of things about what the game is and what it's doing.
Yes.
And whether or not it's going to last. But I don't think they're going to be saying, this is just like the Amazon rainforest.
Therefore,
I remember all those times I fought skeletons that were fucking...
So you've played quite a bit of it already, is it?
I think I just hit the 80-hour mark.
Holy motherfuck. So that's from last week.
Yeah, came out last week.
Mm. Hey, dude, there's only like 140 hours in a fucking week. You're working 40 hours at a time. And then you're playing 80 hours. How does the math stack up?
I don't get a lot of sleep.
He doesn't sleep.
Oh, really?
I've done multiple all-nighters over the past week.
Rephrase, he forgets to sleep.
Yeah, like there was one point on Monday going into Tuesday, I totally lost track of time. I looked at the clock, it was about 2 a.m. And then the next time I looked at it, it was about 6. And I was just like, well, I'm not going to go to sleep for like an hour and a half and then wake back up.
Well, Byron, it explains a lot about your productivity. No. Just to all the non-listeners out there, Byron and I are colleagues at work. so you don't sleep?
No. Very much. I sleep as much as I need to.
You don't feel tired during the day?
I think I feel okay most of the time.
Do you drink coffee?
Not a lot. Like, I have like a small coffee in the morning, but like I can take or leave that coffee. I don't need it.
I don't fucking understand. So you just...
I just don't sleep a whole lot. I don't think it's good. Beef thinks maybe Beef, one of our other... one of the other admins I work with, he thinks that there's some people just like people need different amounts of sleep, right? It's not like you just say like, oh no, everyone needs like 9 hours, right?
Yeah,
that's a nice thing to say. But 8 hours,
or whatever. But you're doing like 2 hours or some shit.
Not all the time. Yeah. Like, you know, most of the time I get about 4 or 5 hours, I think.
And you're good enough.
And I'm okay. Like, it's, I know it's not good when I stay up all night. I definitely feel it.
All right.
Usually around the afternoon. Around the afternoon when it kind of gets a bit warm and it's like, now I'm just like zoning out and not paying attention.
Right. That explains a lot.
Which is usually... Well, no, because normally if I do that, I usually actually have like a subconscious, like even that right. night where I did that, that was on Monday where we had a public holiday going right. on to Tuesday.
Right.
And then on Tuesday, I only work a half day.
Right.
So like staying up till like 12 and then just taking a nap when I get home at like 1 o'clock for like 2 hours or something, that's fine.
I'm actually a little bit envious because if I didn't need as much sleep, I think I would do more stuff. Unfortunately, I need a lot of sleep.
Yeah, I think sleep differs between different people.
Right.
But that's not to do with video games anyway.
No. So yes, you played it roughly 80 hours. You gave it 4 stars out of 5 last time.
It's probably more like the 90 or 95 hours, realistically.
Okay, so you played it just under 100 hours.
Yeah.
And you're pulling your phone out to fucking check, because you're that type of person.
I have...
Ballpark, Byron. Ballpark.
No, I can get a specific number really easily.
BP.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, and you gave 4 stars out of 5 last time. That was the Byron test.
Yeah.
I went on the internet, actually. I saw, like, one Metacritic person give a review on it, some shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I read that thing. I didn't understand anything. But I think they gave it, like, a 7 or 8 or some shit.
Yeah, I think I've seen 7s as a pretty common score for it.
Right.
And I think that's... So I've listened to a bunch of, like, journalists and things, critics talking about it. And the consensus I have is they don't know what the game is. The vast majority of them don't know what the game is, have not played a game like this, and don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
Because it's basically, you hit that issue where, like, people that are playing the game, and I think it's legitimate. I told you last time that you're going to find people that 96 hours I've played it for.
Right. Played it for 96 hours. Right. Yes, and none of those Metacritic guys probably played it for that much.
I think some of them probably get it, right? But the issue is not so much... No, they probably haven't played it for that much.
Yeah.
Like, I think people will bounce off this game really quickly if they don't like it. So, like, my brother, he played it, and he got it. He played it for maybe 4 hours, and he was just like, I'm good, this is just not for me. I feel like this is hugely repetitive, and I'm not into it, and I strongly dislike it. But I was talking to Gal, and he said... like he has not had this much fun playing a game in years. And you in a game like this, just by its nature, what it is, some people will get it and thoroughly enjoy it.
Yes.
And other people will not get it, or not get it, but it's just not for them. It's like, this style of game is not for them. Cause it's basically just a slow progression game. Almost everything you do in the game makes you better at doing that thing. And then you have about 20 something different skills. Like, I was fishing, and then I can cut up those fish and I can cook with them, or I can take the reagents from the cut up fish and not cook with them. I could, like, do alchemy with them and make, like, a potion. And, like, all of these are different skills. Or you can gather wood, or then you can gather wood, and then you can, it's another skill to be able to cut up the wood into timber, and then it's another skill to be able to build furniture with it.
So to all the listeners out there, Byron told me last week that New World is about essentially some Columbus dude who sailed from Europe to the New World, which is America, got stuck.
It's a made-up place.
Yeah. Got stuck in the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
And then for some fucked up reason, they found you land there and realize everyone has magic and they can live forever.
Yeah, or some people live forever. You either live forever or you like... get corrupted and like the people that are alive say that's no good and they go and put down people that kind of turn bad.
And as far as you know, there's no particular objective. It's just everyone logs into this world. Millions of people have logged into this world already. Yeah. It's like World of Warcraft and they're in this fucking world and they don't know what the fuck's going on. They're
just exploring around.
You're just exploring. There's
basically no plot.
No plot.
You're just like, it's just a cool world to run around.
Yeah.
I have gone through the main story. I have tried to pay attention to it.
Are you up to date with it?
No, because it's I'm only like level 30, and it's a it's I'm halfway. Oh no, I'm almost 40 actually. But I'm about halfway from the level cap. But I would say I don't know what the fuck's going on with the story. It has been mostly there's a guy that was crazy, and then he started talking to me, and he told me I could be a soul warden, and I don't exactly know what that is.
All right, so now slowly,
no,
people figure out what characters they.
Nah, there's no characters. It's just like. There's a threadbare plot for people that, like, it's a wide net,
right?
Some people will want a plot in the game, so they give a little thread of, like, yeah, there's a narrative here, sort of.
Yeah.
But there's not. It's, like, it's not a focus. It's, like, a couple of lines of text.
So I still don't understand what the fuck is fun about. Like, why the girl and you think it's fun, then? If there's no plot, there's, like,
there's a game. I'll put it in a bit of perspective. There's a game called Cookie Clicker, right?
Right.
This was a game that came out. It was free.
Yes.
It was just you played it on like a web browser, and all you did is it had a cookie on the screen.
Yeah.
And you clicked it,
like the cookie you eat, a biscuit.
Yes, a biscuit.
Right.
You cooked the cookie.
Yeah.
And then that gave you a cookie.
Right.
So you would click it.
Yes.
And then you get more cookies. So you start. You keep clicking it.
Yes.
And then eventually, right? Well, you can use those cookies to buy upgrades to cook it to click it faster. So you can get a thing that would maybe, like, multiply it. So every time you clicked it, it actually clicked, like, 1.5 times. So every two clicks, you'd actually get three cookies.
Or you could buy something that would automate the process.
Yeah, or you'd buy a little, like, little hand that would sit around the outside of the cookie, and every 3 seconds, it would click.
What do you mean you buy? You pay money?
No, you're buying with cookies. It's oh, okay, there's no, okay. So you can't spend money on
the game.
You click
on this cookie to gain one cookie, which is your currency.
Yes.
And so the more you click on this cookie, the more currency you get.
Yes, but there's a big upgrade pathway. Eventually, you'll have like factories and things just generating literally trillions of cookies per second. It just has this massive escalation of how much you can produce.
Yes.
And people fucking went wild over this game.
Yeah.
This totally free game, people just played the absolute shit out of it. Because the first time people played it, a game like that. Now that game is basically a genre of games called idle games that you just run and you don't play them. They just play themselves and you just get stronger. A lot of gacha games are actually like that.
Right.
So
like you go to sleep and the next day you wake up with a fuck ton of cookies.
Yeah, you just leave your phone running.
Yeah.
And it would just do it. Sometimes they require you to click in between missions.
Right.
But some of them don't. And the people will pay real money to get those multipliers and things as well. But this game was the first one. But basically, it's a really easy showcase of why this game, I'm not saying New World is bad and the gameplay is bad, but it's a good point is that it doesn't matter.
There's an audience.
Yeah, the progression systems it has are enough that it will hold people's attention.
That is so interesting.
Because the progression is good. And nowadays, like, every game has progression systems. It's just you're doing your game a disservice if you do not have some kind of progression system. I heard the argument from a guy, like a kind of YouTube critic or critiquer on video games a while ago, and he basically said if there's an arena shooter, right, like a Quake game, and it's a multiplayer only game, and one of them has a progression system and the other one doesn't, the one that has the progression system is the one that will succeed. Even if they are literally the exact same game, like no differences, the only difference is one of them has this progression system that even if it doesn't give you anything, it just like gamifies the system internally and it tells you at the end of the match that you gained XP and you leveled up. Even if other people can't see those levels, if it means absolutely nothing, that's the one that has a better chance of surviving because some people look for those progression systems. So there's no harm in putting them in your game.
So it basically is built and reflected deeply in our own, like, human biology.
Yeah, it's just like the numbers go up.
Yeah.
Feels good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see progress of some sort.
Yeah, I spent 2 hours cutting down trees, but I'm now level 75 instead of 72.
I think this is an excellent evidence that where the people say whatever they want to say, that people care about advancement and progress.
Yeah.
Every one of us do.
Yes, even if it is mundane as getting an extra cookie.
Yeah, even if it means
once you get your fucking cookie, you want two cookies, right?
Yes.
And once you become, what does that fucking tell you about Jeff Bezos? He still wants that extra fucking cookie, even though he has $100 billion worth of cookies already.
Mm.
Because it's naturally among us to feel that way.
Yeah, well, some people I would say are put off by progression systems, but I'd say that that's such a small percentage of the audience that the number of people that do like those progression systems just over, like, it dwarfs it. A lot of people would sit there and if you released, especially a game, if you released like Quake, a game that is very traditional and does not have those mechanics, some people might be off-put, but enough people would want that and it would hold their attention for longer that it doesn't matter really.
And do you feel better, like, if you had two options, one was to get to level 80 now versus one...
The cap level cap is 60 or for your player level, and then you have the individual skill levels.
Right.
There is no way that I would want to just max them all out instantly. If you gave me the option to just click the button, I think a lot of players would.
Right, right.
But then you would complete, like, there would be nothing to do in the game.
Yes.
It's right. Like, people don't want... People, they don't think they do, but they want adversity.
Yes.
If you could just, like, Doom is a great game, right? The original Doom. But you can turn on no clip and God mode and everything dies in one hit mode. And you can just run through the walls and skip everything. And let's say Doom is a seamless game for this example. You could just say teleport to the final boss of the game and beat it instantly. Who the fuck wants to do that? That's like, what are you doing?
The left. Sorry.
Yeah. It's like, you want the challenge.
Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. It actually reflects... It's very interesting talking about this because it tells me that games reflect human psychology very, very well. And it's almost like if you know
they're very good at that these days, yeah.
Yeah, it's almost as if you know human psychology, well, you can design a good game.
Yeah, I mean, games sort of stumbled into it, but like, a game like Diablo 2, nowadays we recognize that as a Skinner box.
What does that mean?
It's the box with the, it's the rat in the, like, in the steel box, and it has a pellet.
Well, Skinner is a psychologist. Or...
Yes, and it presses the pellet.
Yes.
It has a random chance whether the button rather, and has chance whether or not a pellet will be delivered to it.
Yes.
And if the pellet is consistent,
yes,
if it presses the button and gets a pellet,
yes,
it will stop and not press the button very much. It will press a button when it needs food.
Yes.
But if it is random,
yes,
it will press the fuck out of that button.
Yes.
And it will like eat itself to death. It will just keep pressing the button. It trains itself to keep pressing the button because it gets the like dopamine hit from hitting the button and getting it on a random chance.
Yeah, I might be totally wrong about this, but this is a guy called P.F. Skinner. He was a psychologist at like Stanford or some shit. Yeah. And he used that experiment to demonstrate that mouse believe in superstition. Is that?
I don't know about believe in superstition. This was like a behavioral
stuff. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it creates superstition in humans. I can tell you that much.
I don't know.
So then you become superstitious.
I mean, that's
I think he did it for pigeons.
I don't know about the superstition part, but I know that nowadays we use it as like reward structure in a lot of systems.
Right.
So like when we talk about gacha mechanics,
right,
that's a Skinner box mechanic.
Right.
But like Diablo 2 is a game where like you kill enemies and they drop a lot of loot, and you're always hoping it drops the thing that's really good for you. And so you'll keep playing because you want searching. The thing that's just always really
that
good for you.
That is so interesting.
Because any enemy in the game could drop the thing that you want.
That is... So fucking interesting.
So, and like that game did that by accident, but nowadays, like, there's a lot of into that. Yeah, there's a lot of work that's gone into those kind of studies to make games as addictive as possible. They do make a lot of games, especially the gacha games, the games that I was shit on constantly. Like, a lot of work goes into making those as addictive as possible.
And can I ask you, so when the mouse pressed that button and it was like a random button, He didn't stop. He just kept pressing it.
He pressed it more.
For the chance of getting...
And why was that bad? Because the mouse, you said, ate itself to death?
It couldn't stop pressing the button. It's like, even though it would eat more. So like when it got food consistently, it ate to a certain level and stopped. But I believe when it was random, it would continue to eat.
That just didn't matter.
It just needed to keep hitting the button.
But the world is sort of like, every one of us lives in a world where... We're in like a Skinner box, right? Because we're pressing all types of buttons, hoping things will make our lives better, basically. I mean, that's what I reckon. Maybe I'm wrong about it, but
I think that's how it works a lot of the time. But people, I don't think, like to think about that. I think people like to think that no, it's the American dream. We work hard and we can achieve it, you know. But I think in reality, it's probably fucking luck most of the time.
I reckon, because if it was
causation, you know, it was, you know, action, causation, then effect, then we would know exactly what we're doing day in and day out.
Yeah.
But instead of now, we just, you know, pedal along 24/7.
Yeah, I mean, most gambling systems work on this Skinner box stuff. Like poker machines or pokies are all just this system, just en masse.
So,
I mean, that's also where the whole ritual system comes from.
What's the ritual system?
As in order to get a certain outcome, I must perform a ritual.
Oh, yeah.
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 What do you mean?
So, in terms of, say, gacha games, let's say you go on a forum and there's a thing called polls, right? Yeah. So you can see other people's polls and how they did their polls. And so in preparation to do these polls, people will perform rituals such as, I will dance in a circle and turn around 3 times before I press the button to poll. Mm. Or I will
Why?
Just because it makes you feel like you're more likely to get whatever.
Right. It's like the rain dance.
The more realistic scenario here, to take it down to
a
not ridiculous level.
Yeah, or like wearing the lucky underwear.
Yeah, yes. like people do it in wars and stuff all the time. But,
right.
But like the old Pokemon games when they came out, like the original Pokemon games, Red and Blue.
Yeah.
I remember there used to be a thing when the Pokeball, because it will close, right? When you throw it to catch a Pokemon.
Yeah.
And then it will shake. Three times.
Yeah.
And I remember there used to be people that would tell you have to press B when it shakes. And if B when it shakes, it increases the chance that you're going to catch it. Or sometimes that's down and B or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's bullshit, is it?
Yeah, it was always bullshit. But it's like people believed it, and so they just started doing it. Cause
that's so fucking interesting.
It just became a thing.
Yeah.
So it didn't mean anything at all.
Yes. Yeah, so no. In terms of the Skinner box, I can understand if the rat suddenly pressed it and went, doesn't work. All right, I'm going to press it with my right hand instead of my left this time.
Yes.
Is that sort of mentality?
That was why they were demonstrating... That was to demonstrate that Mouse believes in rituals. And superstition. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Superstition, yeah. That each... But I feel like he did it with pigeons, where each pigeon suddenly had random behavior. It would, turn around and, click 10 times.
Was this the same guy? Because I feel like this was a different experiment. Or at least I just... I'm unfamiliar with this part of it.
Yeah. It could be a different... Yeah, you might be right. It might be a totally different person. But I know who you're talking about when you're talking about the word Skinner. Mm.
It's a very famous psychological study at this point. Yeah. Especially, maybe it's just famous to me because I'm in games and games have so much of this random stuff.
So, okay. But I'm a bit confused. Mm. This is... This massive player thing, you guys are all in the rainforest. How is this different from the World of Warcraft when you guys are all in the same world?
It's just a very different game. Like that game is very focused on, even though it's World of Warcraft, its primary focus is the PvE side of it, right?
What's PvE?
Player versus environment.
Okay.
It's on your notes back in the meeting room. So this game, nothing. When I originally explained the difference between PvP and PvE, you wrote it down. Doesn't matter.
Oh, fuck. Okay. I understand what you're saying.
PvP is player versus player, and this game has a much greater focus on player versus player. One of the interesting things, so the game has a big map, and you have the 3 different factions that all fight for control. World. Yes.
Right.
The green, the yellow, and the purple factions.
And you can see the entire map.
Yeah, and so it's color-coded, who owns which territory at the time.
Right.
And you can wage sieges, and they can try and bolster defenses when they know a war's coming, and you then fight it out for territories. But one of the interesting things about it, because the
and there's fucking a million people in this fucking map.
No, it's broken up into subsets. So there's probably, I don't know how many players are on each lot, on my server specifically, but I know that the number of players that can be in my map at a time is capped at 2,200. So
that's not that much.
It's
that can
not
participate in the war.
No. The war is 50.
50-50.
50-50. Right. Okay. But 50-50 is a lot of data to transfer. It's a lot of players. You can't really go much bigger than that without encountering big problems. But 2,200 is for the size of the map, they could put more on the server. It's not a server limitation that they couldn't have more. The problem is that if they have more players, the land space is going to be especially now when everyone's kind of at the lower levels and there's higher level areas, but nobody really has high level characters yet.
Right.
So everyone's clustered into these smaller areas and then everyone's fighting over the same resources. If you want to mine iron, good luck, because everyone's trying to mine iron So you can't fucking find any because it's already done.
Hey, so, okay, maybe I got this totally wrong. My impression was when people say, oh, World of Warcraft, there's 10 million people playing it. Oh, New World, there's 2 million people playing it in this one mystical space. In my mind, it's like, holy fuck, there's 2 million people in like that can meet each other, see each other in one map
space. No, game works like that. That's impossible server architecture. Like,
it's a waste of space.
Yeah, World of Warcraft has like the best server architecture probably in the world. Like, their game's massive. But, like, they can't handle more than, like, 100 people or so gathering in one place at a time. It just, like, crashes the server. It's just the reality that, like, when you think about how...
Okay, I did not know that.
When you, like, they can have a lot of people in there, so their servers hold a lot more than 2,000 because their world is absolutely massive. But when you think about, like, the way data transfers and, like, when one player just moves to the left slightly, that data has to be transmitted to every other person nearby, exactly. And how like multiplicative that kind of data transfer is, it gets to be a lot really, really quickly. So it's just like, and then if you're trying to do like fighting another faction with it, it gets too much. Pretty recently, over the last couple of years, we just started having games come out which were based on like the Japanese Battle Royale movie, which is basically like the Hunger Games, if you're familiar with either of those movies. But it's basically, it's 100 players dropped onto an island that kill each other.
Yeah.
And like, that only just sort of started to get to work now. Like, that technology just didn't really work before then. Anyway, New World. Map, territory, color-coded for like who owns it.
Yes.
One of the interesting things that I thought was really funny. So it costs a lot of money to buy the territory.
What the fuck?
You have to buy it. So basically, you can't just go into the territory and say, we're all here, so we own it. There's a cost to it.
Right.
Like a gold cost. And gold in the game is actually quite hard to get. So I'm on like...
But who do you buy it from?
Just like the world. You have to spend the money to do it. Just like you have to spend money to declare war on another faction. It's just like they need a way to remove gold from the game so to stop inflation. So like I've played for 95 hours. I've got about 4,000 gold.
That's very little.
It costs, it's very slow to get gold. It costs about 100,000. It costs 100,000 to buy one of these bits of territory. So you'd have people like funneling all of their gold on like the each faction to like one person, and then that person would go and buy the territory.
How do you know he's not gonna fuck up?
Well, that happened already on one server. I already heard the story of a guy that took all the gold, 60,000 gold, and then transfers it to one of his mates, and then deletes that character, makes a new character, his mate transfers it to him, his mate deletes his character, and now they both have new characters, so they had to start again, but they're starting with 60,000 gold between them.
Right.
Which is like, you know, well and truly more than any single person has really at the moment. It's not that unreasonable, actually, but it was the first like initial controversy where like someone just took the money and fucking bundied. But
And can I ask you, it sounds like sooner or later people are going to spend real money to buy gold.
You can't at the moment. Well, I mean, you've already got in-game people, like bots, will advertise in the text chat, buy gold, like this much per money. Like that's a thing that the Amazon just has to ban those accounts as soon as they start doing it. And bots trying to like mine resources to sell and then... to sell on to other players so that they get gold and then they can take that gold and sell it for real money.
Let me ask you right now, like, how much do you think your 6,000 gold is worth in real life?
It's, I don't know. I don't know the value. If I was to guess, I would say probably 1,000 gold is worth like maybe 10 or 20 bucks.
Okay, so you have 6,000 gold right now, roughly. So then you roughly have maybe $100.
Maybe, yeah. That's so a pretty rough guess.
You play 100 hours, so it's $1 an hour. Okay, then it's not really worth it. I mean, unless someone creates a bot of some kind.
In China,
This
is a pretty good wage. Like, depending on where you live, there's a lot of places. So the thing in World of Warcraft, you always had the Chinese gold farmers because, like...
What does that mean?
It was literally, like, Chinese people farming gold in World of Warcraft that they would then, you know, they'd be hitting, like, the rare... nodes, like mining nodes that show up.
Yeah.
So they can take the red gems from them, sell them to players for gold, and then they take that gold to a website and offer other players the ability to buy that gold with real money. Because like that was like, I actually kind of made friends with a Chinese gold farming girl like like 10 years ago or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a little bit before the Beijing Olympics, because I remember she asked me about like what I thought about like China and Beijing and like how the Olympics were going.
And did she try to sell you gold?
She tried to sell me gold originally, and I just started talking to her instead, which I don't think you're supposed to do. And then it turned out that she was trying to learn English.
Right.
And so we just...
So then you took gold from her?
No, I never took gold from her.
Right, okay, okay.
I don't remember...
Touché!
Yeah, no, she was trying to sell me gold. Like she'd run up to people and try and sell them gold.
Right,
and
right.
I just kept talking to her after I guess I was supposed to not.
Yes, yes, yes.
But I ended up learning a bit about her. I remember because they share accounts, because there's multiple people on like one account.
Right.
So she'd tell me when it was her. She'd send me a message saying, it's me on the account. And then I think one day she quit. And so she came on to tell me, hey, I'm quitting. This is the last you're going to hear from me. It was nice talking to you all this time, but like, you'll see this character online, but I will not be here. It won't be me. And maybe she was bullshitting. Maybe she was sick of my shit. I don't know. But that's the end of that story. Anyway, I'm digressing again back to the
but how much did she make?
I have no idea. I remember she told me it was like, it was pretty low.
Right.
Because I remember it was like a few bucks an hour or something like that.
Right.
But like, this was 10 years ago. China was in a bit of a different place 10 years ago. They didn't have as much of a middle class. I remember she was saying like, hey, this is like pretty okay money for me. Like it was like,
yeah, because all you needed the internet.
Yeah. It was boring work, but like, this is all right. Like, it's better than, like, maybe some of the other options she had.
This is totally fucked up. So, it's like, the world has moved, into the digital space. You can literally be sitting on a, you know, beach somewhere and just World of Warcraft being mining and then, you know, making your $2 an hour.
Yeah.
And I mean, probably will be enough at your shitty ass
beach. It's hard to do in, like, a lot of, like, the Western world, because the wages and costs are too high. Yes, but in a lot of countries, sure, it's totally viable. You can do it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do.
Fuck, that's so interesting.
I mean, it's low barrier of entry.
Yeah.
But can't you just program a bot to do it?
Yeah, but the game tries to ban bots. So if you're doing it by hand, there's not really much they can do unless they actually catch you in like the outside, because the real money transaction stuff, like turning that gold into real money, every side is like hard against that. Every game is hard against that, so you have to, except for World of Warcraft, that now like fucking does it
really
on their own. And yeah, they sell gold now.
The fuck? Okay.
World of Warcraft is a real shit show now, don't worry about that.
Right. Yeah, please go back to New World. I mean, I obviously don't know any of this, but in my mind it's like, why don't you just put a camera onto the screen and then get a machine learning algorithm to figure out
I've seen bots run through like machine learning stuff.
Right, where
they just teach it really basic ways to play.
Yeah.
And it's just like, look, it just needs to run in a fucking circle and kill enemies and loot them when they die.
Yeah.
So it can be done, like it can be automated pretty easily. It doesn't even need like a machine learning thing really.
Fuck. What am I doing with my life?
Yeah. But you know, you're always at risk of losing your account. But if you don't care about your account, you're just trying to make money. As long as you make enough to occasionally offset, like having to buy the game again, so you can keep doing it. Yeah, pretty fine.
Oh yeah, I guess you got to make back your initial investment.
Yeah, I mean the game. So World of Warcraft is like $40.
Yeah.
So you need to at least make $40 and you're enough, I guess, living wage. But like, there's. It's pretty monotonous. Like, it's not work I could do, I think.
No, you can't do it. I mean, but you can automate a bot to do it.
Yeah.
Basically. Okay. Back to New World.
Yes.
It's
color-coded map.
Yes. Right. We really haven't gone that far in our conversation.
One of the things I think that's happened is that everyone spent all this money, and so, like, the purple people on my server have the most territory, they have the most players, so they had the most people generating income.
And what color are you?
Green.
Right.
Which is like the second kind of highest. Green and yellow, yellow has a few, but one of the things that's interesting is like every now and again the areas get invaded, and I think people seem to be aware of this mechanic.
By the environment or by the people?
By the environment.
Woo!
So like there's corruption events that spawn, and you have to...
I don't understand.
It's just things that happen in the world where like, oh, this area's been corrupted, we need to get players to go there and just push, like, kill all the enemies that are in this area, and basically, so it cleanses the area.
Corrupted by what?
Just magic enemies. They just, it's a thing on the map that says, hey, people need to gather here to stop this from happening. And if you don't, it spreads and it gets bigger on the map.
If you gather that, that's enough. Or do you have to gather and kill something?
You have to gather and kill something, basically.
And what do you usually kill?
I don't know, whatever. A wizard, who cares? Oh, doesn't matter.
Right.
The point is that it's an upkeep of player time.
Right.
Mm. So now you've got this situation where this place that has the most players expanded really quickly and spent all of their money, and now I don't think they have the ability to actually maintain all of the areas that they took, especially because players at the moment, they're still leveling up. They want to be, you know, progressing their character. They don't want to have to stop every 30 minutes to go and beat this corruption thing that just keeps constantly happening. So I think it's really interesting that now you're probably in a situation where, like, maybe the weakest faction is going to just take an area from the strongest faction.
Yeah, because
just because they can't actually, like, they basically need to just give it to them.
Yes.
Because they just can't maintain all of them.
Yeah.
I think that's probably going to happen, but I haven't seen that happen yet.
So does the land go back to the world if the event
So ends? What happens is the event just kind of keeps getting worse. But what you do is you have to spend, you upgrade the towns slowly so that, and you want the best stuff that you can make in the towns because it means that people will come to your town to like use your forge because you have a level 4 forge.
Wait a minute, but if someone comes to your town, can't you just like kill them?
No, the towns are all friendly.
What do you mean they're all friendly?
They're all friendly. I can go to an enemy faction's town. It's not a problem. It's only a problem when a war has been declared and they have like, it's like,
so you can switch something to say, hey, you can't hurt me.
Yes, but everyone runs with that off. The wars though is like, you sign up for the war, and it's literally like
you're conscripted.
They have rules of engagement, effectively. Like, no, we're going to fight for this territory,
right.
And we have our two armies, and the winner will take the territory.
What happens if you refuse to fight the war, then?
They'll just take it. If you just don't have people sign up for your war, if like, hey, we got me and my buddies, and they have their army, well, you should probably leave, because you're just going to die. And it's going to be pointless.
Right. So this game is like peaceful in its towns, but yet, and you're intermixing with the enemies, but then your enemies can decide, all right, we're going to seize your land. And then you have to defend.
Yeah.
Then wouldn't the more powerful guys just seize everything?
No, because then they have to try and maintain everything.
Understood, no.
And it's like them trying to maintain everything. I don't know how it will work in the long run. I'm really curious on how the territory control system will work kind of in the long run.
And the more land they have, the more wealth they have. Is that the idea?
Yeah, because they have more wealth. So, like, that's the part of it. Everyone wants the land because the land you can tax. You can tax the land. You can tax the people using it. You want that to use that level 4 forge. Well, we put a fucking, like, 7.5% tax on it, which is pretty high for that kind of thing. So, but it's like it's the only one there, so you got to use it.
Understood.
So you've got all these different aspects. Like, I own a house in one of the towns, and I have to pay tax on that.
Who do you pay the tax to?
The company that owns it, which is not my company. I own a town. I own
what
a
fucking company?
The fucking company.
The factions.
Okay.
It's technically each faction is subdivided into companies that work for the factions, which are the like guilds.
Right. So companies are guilds.
Yeah. So there's like I'm not part of any guild. But a guild took the area I started in, and that's where I built my house.
Okay, so a faction is populated by different guilds, and each guild's probably focused on one thing, like iron forging or farming, whatever. And then guilds are populated by players.
Guilds are entirely player-run, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, guilds are just like, we are, you know, we're 70 people, and we're like, we are focused on PvP, so join this guild if you want to do PvP stuff. And some of them are like, hey, we just take anyone, whatever. Some of them are just like, yeah, we're just chilling, hanging out. It's basically a chat room. It's whatever, but...
What do you mean? So, yeah, they're just like chat...
It depends. I'm not in any of them. But
right.
So, like, I just see, like, the faction chat, because we all have a big... Yeah. Everyone in my faction has a big chat where we can communicate because we need to communicate. And, like, there's points where, like...
Doesn't that go by really fast, though?
No, because it's just...
Restricted it's, local?
No, it's global. Ooh. It's just not that fast. It's, like, there's very... People that play this kind of game tend to be... I wouldn't say mature, because I've seen a lot of immaturity in the chat. There's a lot of, like...
Boobs.
You know, sorry. Yeah. Like, a lot of... just dumb internet shit, like CDs. Do you like CDs? CDs, nuts in your mouth! Stuff like that.
I don't understand. What are CDs?
These nuts in your mouth. That's what CDs are.
CDs, nuts in your mouth. It's like dragon. I'm doing dragon. What do you mean dragon? Dragon these nuts.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
It's just dumb internet humor. Okay, that's what it is. It's just a joke to make someone say something.
Like, yeah. Have you ever been to E10?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know what I was going with
that. I don't actually know that one. There's a bunch of them.
Isn't these nuts?
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's just a bunch of stupid shit like that.
What?
I'm trying to understand
E10. E10 these nuts?
Yes, eating these nuts.
Yeah, it's a joke to get someone to say the first part.
Yes.
So it's like the popular one that went around a few years ago. Have you heard of this streamer Ninja? He called it Ligma.
I don't understand.
Yes, so the bait was to try and get the person you're saying to say,
"What's Ligma?"
"What's Ligma?" And then you say, "Ligma balls, dude!" That's it.
God damn it, guys.
And that is a significant part of the internet.
Yes, right. there's a lot of stupid shit like that on the internet. But it's like, there's very little of that because people have to take it seriously because...
Yeah, debatable.
No, they have to take it seriously if they want to maintain control.
The army...
Control of what?
The territories. Like, the armies need to be organized to do it. And I've also seen infighting within factions where...
Of course.
Where one of the places just taxed a place at a ridiculous rate.
Uh-huh.
And it was a green... faction.
Who decides what is the taxation rate?
The guilds. The guild that
right.
The one guild will put forward the money
right.
for the war.
Right.
And that will be the guild that if they win the war, they will take that territory.
Right.
They'll take it for like the green faction, but it is the guild that will operate that territory, which is just run by like one player. And then like all of everyone in that guild, they might have offices and whatnot, but it's one person that makes the decision.
This is very interesting. What type of like political philosophy tends to do well in these type of games? Is it like a democracy? Or is it like
socialism? Generally democracy. So like this person came in with this tax. It's like I said 7.5 was a high tax, right?
Yeah.
This person came in and taxed everything to the absolute maximum, which was everything was taxed at 25%.
Right.
Which is like when you enter the town, it tells you the tax rate and it's all in like glowing red, saying like very high taxes on every aspect of the town.
Right.
And it's like even the people in that green faction,
they
went to war against their own faction. Like another guild in the green faction put up the money to kick that guild out of that town because it was just driving everyone away from the town and no one was using it.
Yeah.
So no one was getting any money anyway. And they just didn't understand how a reasonable economy has to work.
Yeah.
And that you need to be reasonable. You can't just fucking be an idiot and greedy.
Right, right.
So you have things like that too, which is fun. It was fun watching a faction go to war against itself.
Yes, against a draconian faction.
Yeah.
Essentially, the high tax is the communists.
Yeah, there was an uprising.
Fucking hell. Oh my goodness, this is hilarious. So, and you guys don't know each other. It's just like all online.
No. Like most of the time when I've been like, done like, group content with other players, it's been like it's been of every faction.
Right.
Like the faction stuff is interesting, but I haven't really I see the chat and I see how they're organizing and what they're doing, but I haven't said anything in that chat. I've just like watched that because I'm not part of it.
But really. Are you guys secretly like doing shit to like try and beat the other factions? Like are you secretly organizing yourself?
So initially my faction, because like we're the two weaker factions.
Yes.
The green and yellow are weaker and the purple are dominating.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, we had an alliance with the yellow one that we were not going to...
How do you have an alliance?
There was just an agreement between them.
So you messaged all your dudes in purple on green and then you told all the green guys and said, hey, if you fuck with the yellow, I'm going to fuck with you.
Basically, the top couple of guilds on the green contacted the top couple of guilds on the yellow and they basically worked it out and said, hey, we're just putting a truce on our people.
Yeah.
Like, green, don't attack yellow. If you see them on the field and they're and you can attack them, just maybe leave them be, and we'll just like have a truce because we don't want to waste our resources on each other. We're both losing. Yes. We need to focus on just beating purple because we're outnumbered.
And your top green guilds will then tell you guys
the lower green because guilds. The greens can message all of the greens at once,
right?
And the yellows can message all of the yellows at once. And you can also just do it in a global chat. There is just a global chat where you can just say like. you know, the leader of one of the guilds can say, like, hey, yeah, everyone's agreed to this. Yeah. Y'all need to chill out.
And do they actually comply?
So there was compliance for a couple of days where, like, generally I didn't really see much of the group. You know, every now and again, you're going to get either people that are not online at the time and don't see this,
yeah.
even though people talked about it pretty regularly
yeah.
to keep everyone in the know.
Yeah.
You're going to get people that's just like, oh, I see that person that's, like, fighting another enemy and they're going to kill him. And you also get people that are assholes and just going to do whatever the fuck
they
want.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is fine, yeah. but you want them to be outliers. What you really didn't want was either of the factions declaring war and trying to take the territory that we already own, because then it's just counterproductive. So, like, maybe you can fight out in the environment a bit,
yes,
but don't put your money forward, and because you have to pay money to declare a war, don't do that against each other, because it's just counterproductive for both of us. Let's work on, like, building our towns that we currently own and putting that to work to generate more income to fight the bigger threat here. But it worked for, like, 2 days, and then the yellow declared war in one of our towns, and then just went to shit.
Don't you both parties have to agree to the war?
Well, yeah, but once the war has been declared, it's like you need to assign defenders to it. Otherwise, they're just going to take it for free.
Again, don't both sides have to agree to it? So you have declared war.
No, it's like, they declared it. It's like
yeah, they say, I'm gonna fuck you up.
It's like, hey, yeah. that agreement, one of the guilds, either they just didn't give a fuck
right.
about the agreement because they saw a weakened territory and they were like, well, yeah, we have this agreement, but the fuck are they gonna do? We're gonna try and take their territory.
This is like real life.
Yeah, there's a lot of really cool aspects to it. And that's the stuff that any of the reviews and stuff like that, that's the stuff that they mention. Like, it's like the positive things. And when they talk about, like, the man, I sat there and I was fishing for like 4 hours and the number went up and now I'm level 44 fishing. Holy shit, was I mindlessly just clicking a button every 3 seconds to reel in a fish. But some people like that. So that's where the, like, skew goes, where people right. will.
So you could be just fishing whilst the rest of your faction is out there, like, gaining territory and killing.
Yeah, I've seen wars go on. It's like, well, yeah, there's a war going on now. That probably means that, like, there's less people running around the environment, which means now is when I want to go and try and find the iron nodes, because there's going to be less people mining them, so I can probably try and take all of those for myself.
This is, like, real life. I'm telling you, like, this is the history of, like,
that's not surprising.
Then I can take that iron, I can sell it, and price gouge people on the auction house.
Yeah, greed is good, as Gordon Gekko said. Mm. That is very, very...
Yeah, but I feel like the player versus player stuff is pretty well fleshed out and it's interesting. I think that there will be interesting stuff to come.
There's no fucking loyalty.
No,
but what Churchill said, right? There's no everlasting friendship, no everlasting enemy, only everlasting self-interest.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
And that's how...
That's true.
Yeah, this game is about. Even the democracies.
I mean, most player versus player games are generally like that. Maybe they don't have capacity, but
most player versus player games are like,
I read the history. Are like
12 people in an arena shooting each other. You know,
that's fair.
It's six people. Here's six people. We're fighting now.
That's fair.
I read the history when you were talking about last week about Eve, which is like, yeah, like 30,000 players.
Oh, yeah, Eve has got some great stories. This like that thing about that those people taking the money and running, that's an Eve story right there. It's an Eve story on like a small scale because it happened in a couple of days. But Eve, it's like there's so many like securities and checks where people have to infiltrate these systems. It's really, really fucking awesome.
Like the one where you said they spent a year trying to trick the other side.
Yeah, it's just like making like they have like interviews. They have to go through all their security checks and go through promotion systems, and they have to like literally earn the trust of the other players that they can be trusted to hold on to this money, which has real world value, and then they steal millions of dollars.
I mean, it's corporate espionage at its best.
Yeah, that's what Eve is. It's a corporate espionage simulator.
Yeah, I'll give that.
That's fucking amazing, right?
Has New World have to deal with spies from other factions?
Yeah, I mean, because anyone could probably figure out. Well, so I've seen a bit of like people getting kicked from. Like, we have like a. Even though we have the global chat, chat is pretty transitory in nature because it is a chat.
Yep.
So there's like a Discord setup that is because everything stays in a Discord.
Uh huh.
Because it's more of a forum thing. I mean, Discord kind of has a chat as well, but everything's logged, which is important.
On Discord.
Yeah. So you can see if someone's like logged in. So like if we see someone logged into Discord, but we don't know, we can't confirm that this is a player on our side, they should probably just get kicked from the Discord. Because the Discord is invite only. But to get invited, you need to say, like...
As in, you're running New World and Discord simultaneously.
Yeah.
Or so, does New World have their own, like, Discord?
No, no, no. New World is this just, like, player-run Discords. Right. But it's, like, every person in that Discord needs to be verified as a player in New World on the server for the faction in our group. Because otherwise, anyone could just join. But you have to kind of assume that the chat logs are leaking anyway. You have to just work around that because it's the internet and that stuff's pretty nebulous at best on what you're trying to do. So you really, and everything's well telegraphed anyway. Like, the worst you could do is, like, you could know that maybe someone has earned enough money or is close to earning enough money. It's like, well, we know that territories are bought at 100,000 and somebody from Yellow told me that this group has 85,000 and currently they're trying to funnel the money into that to buy this next territory. So if we want it, we need to motor on that.
We need to go now. Yeah.
But that's about it. And that's, not much.
Can I ask you, so how did your faction decide who is like the top guilds or the league?
They had the most players and they took the territory.
So they're just the most powerful dudes.
It's just like they were first, basically.
And okay, let me ask you this. In games, do those that are at the top of the hierarchy of like guilds or a faction, do they tend to stay at the top? In other words, is there social mobility in games?
It's pretty hard. So the top guild is, I can't remember what they're called, Silverbacks. They're called the Silverbacks. That's on like my faction, the top guild on the Silverbacks.
So,
and then they were so big that one of the other groups called Arctic, they were the second most powerful. But because Silverbacks were so strong, they actually joined and now... You have the Silverbacks and you have the Arctic Silverbacks. Like they merged to basically unify
to keep their power, to preserve their power.
Yeah, because it was much easier to hold it as like one group.
And so in games.
But there is also a pretty strong limit on how many people can be in each guild. Right, I think it's like 100 players can be in a guild at a time, which is why they needed to make this acquisition of this other guild.
Right. Okay, let me ask you this then. In World of Warcraft, it's been running for like 20 years or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Were the strong players, are the strong players today the same, similar to the strong players
previous? Ideally, no, because they've probably quit the game because it's kind of gone downhill.
Yeah,
it's a different game.
Yeah.
Like all of these systems don't exist in World of Warcraft. If you want to do if you want to fight people in World of Warcraft, you will go to an abstract arena and you will play capture the flag. There's no territories. You're not really fighting for anything. Everyone's just playing the game together.
Right.
And sometimes that involves playing against other players, but your progression in that is like you're fighting in an arena and you have a team. And you're just fighting against each other for effectively a score.
Right. For example, there is this quite famous set of television series called 7-Up. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm
pretty sure that's the name of a drink, not a television series.
Yes, it is a name of a drink. And it's the name of a game of basketball. But 7-Up is started as a British documentary which filmed or interviewed... children who are 7-year-olds from all classes and areas of life. And they started in the, I think, the 50s or 60s.
I have heard of this, yeah.
Yeah, and now these people are in their 70s now.
Yeah.
And every 5 years, I think, they interview them. So the film is called 7-Up.
Yep.
A documentary. And what... The interesting thing about this documentary is the lack of social mobility in England.
That's kind of mostly true in the Western world in general. I don't know much about the rest of the world, but in the Western world, there's not a whole lot of social mobility.
So that's why I want to know whether in gaming it's the same as well. Like these kids, there were like three that were from very privileged backgrounds, and then they went to Oxford and then they became lawyers. There was one that was very privileged, became homeless. And then ended up being a politician. And then there was a bunch of people who were middle class, ended up being middle class. And those that were, like, lower working class, stayed lower working class. It's fucking shocking.
because it's like 70 fucking years or how many years you would think, you know, I mean, that's what the West sort of,
yeah, but like that's
sort of advertised itself as being, you know, very, very free and able and like, you know, those with ability sort of tend to do better. But with this fucking film, like, they, you know, this is fucking recorded. And by the way, these guys are fucking famous because every 5 years they go on national television. And yet,
I don't know if that makes them famous, but well documented at the very least.
Makes them famous. Every fucking 5 years they're on fucking television. Sure, and like, every one of them ends up winning an award.
Yeah, but like, no business is going to say, like, yes, I will take, like, this person, I don't want to hire them, but I'll take, like, they're famous, so I'll take them on for 5 years.
Well, I mean, they can do, like, whatever the fuck. Like, go on a television show, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know if I'm being too extreme about it, which is, I guess some people ended up having better lives, blah, blah, blah. It's true. I think one was a taxi driver and then ended up buying like 2 houses and then living well. But basically, my takeaway from it is the lack of social mobility. Like those that went to like private schools in England, they ended up going to Cambridge and, yep, and Oxford, yeah, and then I mean, they became lawyers.
But this is pretty well documented in like everything, right? Like this isn't shocking. I remember seeing something a couple of weeks ago about the language used in people's like when they're kids,
mm-hmm,
people that use more complicated language do, mm-hmm, better in schools.
Mm-hmm.
So like people in school, right?
Mm-hmm.
They both do, let's say your middle class and your upper class kid are in the exact same class and they both perform the both A's, the, mm-hmm, perfect A's, but then you'll get like a summer break and the lower class kid goes back to his home and forgets everything.
Yeah.
But the upper class kid might, yeah, retain more of it because the language used, because his parents are university educated and they're not, hey, Gov, what's going on? You know?
Yes.
So it's just like that alone, just the language used makes them retain the knowledge so much better. So when they came back from summer break and they test them exactly the same, a lower class kid just remembers none of it because it's just not part of his life for like the last like 2 months or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, so it's fucking shocking, man.
Yeah, I think, like, lack of social mobility. Like, people are pretty increasingly aware that kind of stuff is a problem. It's just, like, I don't know what the fuck the solution is. Like, I don't know how you solve that.
Well, I always thought the West, you know,
the West has the American dream.
Yes.
But the American dream works because most people can't attain it. If everyone could attain the American dream, it wouldn't work.
You know, I think I told Ray once that, I don't know if the guy was bullshitting me or not, but, so I lived in Los Angeles for a time, and, because I was studying there, for all the non-listeners, and hey, I was at...
Two listeners? Maybe? Had maybe, to?
Yeah. Holy shit! You are a non-listener! That is true.
I mean, we have
people actually listening to us, by the way. To all the non-listeners out there, you are not alone in being a non-listener.
Yes, there is at least one other.
There is one other non-listener that we realize that is listening to us. Fucking way. I was at Santa Monica Beach, and I just, like, I don't know how I ended up having a conversation, I think with a homeless person. And he was saying, like, he used to work in Hollywood or whatever, and he opened up, I forgot, it was a bag or a tin or whatever the fuck, I think it was a case, anyways, mm-hmm, and in it had like what I gather is film scripts or movie scripts or like just stuff that he wrote.
Oh, this is the Hollywood story right here.
And he said he used to be up there. He said, yeah, he used to work in Hollywood and he used to live in Hollywood and he, you know, used to be part of the scene, whatever, and now he's like pretty much homeless. And I think I forgot the whole story, it's so long time ago, mm-hmm, right, just like 10 years ago. And I was thinking, yeah, this is like the Hollywood, this is like the American dream sort of thing, yeah, which is like in America, you know, you they encourage you to pursue your dreams, and if you fail, hopefully, I think in America they also are easy on you, they just go, yeah, you know, it happens in life, you know, pick yourself up. But the thing is, I don't know how much actual social mobility is there. It's just potentially, you're right, maybe it is a dream, I don't know.
It's definitely a dream. Like my view on that has just always been that it's the American dream needs to be there because you need people to believe that they can get out of whatever they're in, because you need people to work hard.
Yes, but I mean, maybe this is revealing too much, but Ray was born into a public housing,
yeah,
yes, and I my because my parents lived in public housing.
Hmm.
And when I first came to Australia, I mean, I lived in public housing. So definitely for me, I do feel...
But it's not impossible.
Yes, exactly.
It's obviously not impossible.
Yes, it's just about what is the probability, and I don't know the answer, right? It's not good. That's what you're saying.
It's not good, yes. And I think it's getting worse. But we're getting really political, but if we want to continue there...
I want to talk about this with New World, which is I'm trying to figure out whether in New World or one of these games, because, you know, there's millions of people on it, they're lasting for years at a time, and I do wonder, is there a social mobility in there? Or, like, do your top faction Arctic Monkeys guys end up, you know, being ruling, you know, Greenland the whole time? Oh my god, that makes perfect sense. Arctic Monkey Greenland.
Yeah. It's difficult to say, like, it's been out a week, who knows, but I would lean to...
What about 14?
But there's no dominance in something like Final Fantasy 14. There is no player versus player kind of, like, there's almost no player versus player period in Final Fantasy 14.
There's no, like, Guild Wars?
No.
Huh, interesting.
There's PvP matches of 5v5. Like, other than that, whatever. Like, the rest of it's just, like, you cannot fight compete. People.
That's very surprising to me.
No. They compete, you compete in games like Final Fantasy and WoW for clout. And it's like, the argument of, like, well, so, like, Echo, I think, killed, like, the hardest raid boss in World of Warcraft. It was Echo or Limit.
But that's PvE, though.
Yeah, but that's all that matters.
Right.
Like, yeah, there's a ranking system in PvP, and you can be number one. No one gives a fuck. Like, the people doing it gives a fuck, but I don't know who it is. Maybe the people that follow PvP, they certainly would know who that is. Right. But I don't know any of the PvP players. PvE in WoW is generally a bigger deal. But...
Yeah, it's people still, in top of the rankings, senior top of the rankings?
For PvP. Well, the ladder will reset over time, and it will drop people down, and they have to earn back up to it. That system works. But that's... Like, there's no
clout. So you can be the first in that season.
Yeah, but
and then you can go recline from the bottom again if you wish.
Well, at the end of the season, everyone resets.
They get dropped down, so you can't just sit at the top and rest on your laurels and keep earning.
Right.
So it has to push people down at least a little bit of score, so they have to stay active and keep earning.
That is so good. But, yeah, because that's probably the only way to prevent, you know, power begetting power and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. In Final Fantasy, it's a worse system. They have a ranking system as well, and it's like top players, but they don't drop everyone all the way down, which is sort of what WoW does, but less people play PvP. So like they have the top 100 players in PvP.
Yeah,
it's just always the same top 100 players. Nobody can get into it because these people have an advantage. So like if I wanted to start PvP now, I'd be starting at the lowest rank. But if this person at a server reset or a season reset, but if the guy at the top starts, he's starting at like, you know, rank 3 with like a bunch of score already on the table.
And these are all the people with the like clock weaponry, ultimate weaponry.
No, it has nothing to do with that.
Oh, it's not the same.
No.
That doesn't have to do with
there's the no leaderboards? There's no gear in PvP.
Yes, there is.
No, there's not.
Oh, okay.
Hey, so there's therefore there's two big differences between living in the real world and living in this new world, right? One is mulligan, which means if you fuck up, you can start the game all over, right?
Yeah, but you wouldn't do that.
Okay. And the other one is if you fuck it up this season, you can make it up next season. It's not
but you wouldn't do that.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm not sure. I think your question is a bit faulty. Your premise is faulty on your social mobility in the game because the games don't have that aspect to them. Like, that aspect comes from, like, it's to put that in, like, how would that work in game, right? Yeah. So if you look at New World as an example, the closest thing you could get would be like, let's remove the word social mobility and just say wealth, right? Because it's easier for wealthy people to stay wealthy in the world as well.
In
the real world.
Okay.
But like wealth can generate more wealth, right? So if you can kind of use that in New World as well, but also up-and-coming people can earn enough to make a big enough dent in kind of the markets that I think they would be okay. I think there would be, like, wealth mobility at the very least, which is probably the only real equivalent you've got. Because, you know, you could just join the server and help out. the guild that is.
Sorry,
the top guild.
I wasn't listening to you for the last 10 seconds. What did you say?
You I think that as a new player in New World,
yes,
you could, if you were smart about how you went, if Zeng decided to play New World, because he is good at markets and things like that. He's historically very good at that stuff in World of Warcraft.
Yes.
That would absolutely translate to New World.
Yes.
I think he could come in a year after all the territories have already been taken control of and people are fighting with them and people are sitting on hundreds of thousands of gold, which hopefully won't get to that point because they can rip enough gold out of the economy so it stays low. But I think he could come in and figure out what works, what sells, and look at the systems and find a way to make money and make a lot of money from people in those systems because that's what he's good at. And I think there is the ability for people to do that in the game. I think you can come in dirt poor with literally nothing and
do well.
And figure it out and do well economically.
But is it only because of that, or is it also because those that do well will also sort of suffer depreciation, as you put it,
not
per season?
No, because like New World doesn't really have seasons.
Right.
That just has like...
Okay.
The only depreciation would be that... I don't even know how you depreciate, because the depreciation would be that you need to, when someone declares money, puts money up to declare a war on you, you also need to put money up to defend yourself in the war. You can't just like show up. You need to like effectively pay to put people in the defense. So there's kind of that upkeep.
Right.
To it.
Yes, yes.
Because otherwise...
You have to pay upkeep, essentially.
Yes, because otherwise...
And I suppose the wealthier has to pay more upkeep, even.
No, they're paying 100% of it. They would pay all of it. Like the guild that owns the territory,
yes,
are obviously the ones that want to keep it.
Yes.
Oh. And so they're going to have to put up the upkeep for it.
Understood. And therefore, they have to also make the most money in order to
pay
upkeep. Yeah,
but the... I guess I'd hope that they have a good economy. I've heard of a couple games. There was a game came out. I can't remember what game it was, but they had an economist work with their team to make the economy work, to make sure everything would work. And I hope New World has something like that, because you might get a situation where it's too early to tell, but you might get a situation where they're earning so much through the taxing of the town that it's offsetting the cost that they have to pay for the wars every now and again. And so they're just coming out net positive. I think that would be bad. It should probably be...
Why net positive is bad?
Because it would mean that they don't really need to do anything. They can just sit back and they're comfortable. Like, they need to win the wars, which is always a risk that they'll lose, but the defenders have an obvious advantage anyway in a war. Like, they have embankments and castles and whatever.
Yeah.
Like, attackers have a kind of a natural disadvantage, so...
Let me put the question to you differently, which is, who are the top guys in your thing right now? The Arctic Foxes? What are they called? Arctic Monkeys?
Arctic Silverbacks.
Fuck, how do you guys remember this shit? Okay,
the Silverbacks and the Arctic Silverbacks.
Yeah, so Arctic Gorillas, right? Silverback Gorilla.
I think Rusty is a guy. There's a guy called Rusty. I think he's the leader of the Silverbacks.
Holy fuck. Okay. So, let me ask you this, Byron. Do you feel you can be Rusty one day?
I don't want to be Rusty.
Okay, do you feel you can join the
Silverback? I feel if I was inclined
Arctic,
to do it right,
yes.
I feel like, yeah, I could have been more vocal and involved in the PvP stuff.
Right.
But I wanted to do other stuff at the start of the game. Like, to get the experience I wanted out of the game.
Right, so you wanted their protection.
No, I could have not... Like, you have to join a faction. You have to pick one.
Right.
It's part of the game. So, like, Green was just like... The faction that I liked the look of. They're
right.
A bunch of pirates. I'm
right.
Like, I like pirates, cool. I'm going to pick these
guys. But if they get fucked, are you going to help your green friends?
I have not helped in any way.
Right.
I haven't helped,
yes.
But I haven't hurt.
Right.
Because
you
I can...
haven't price gouged yet.
Yeah, but because I can also hurt.
You're like the hermit guy.
Yeah, I just want to be in the woods,
yeah,
like cutting down trees so I can build this fucking maple bedstand that I've been working on. That's what I want. But at a certain point, that stuff will be like, okay, I feel like I'm done with this stuff.
Yeah,
probably after I've seen like all of the dungeons and I've hit the max level.
Yeah.
And at that point, I'll probably see what the PvP is about. But some people were like, because other, you know, they played the beta and they knew what the game was about already. Whereas I didn't know anything about the game going into it.
If they asked you to fight, you don't, will you join them?
Maybe. I'd say maybe. Probably not.
Yeah, that sounds...
How would you reject
someone's
Well, because they don't want me. What it comes down to is like the players that are running this stuff were players that had already played the game in the betas.
Right,
game has been in beta for about a year.
Right.
It's been very heavily tested by a lot of people.
Right.
These players already knew like the fastest way to get to max level, the fastest way to get the best gear. And so like the players in these wars now are pretty high level players in really good gear. If I went in there, I'd basically, someone would just look at me and I'd fall down dead. Like, I really don't have a chance to contribute much to the war. So they don't want me in the war because I'm sitting there spending my time fishing. Because these players, that experience of, like, figuring out the game and playing with the chopping wood and the housing mechanics, they did that 6 months ago. They've had that experience. Now they came into...
During beta.
Yeah, now they came into the game for real because everyone gets reset. But now they're in the game for real.
Okay.
And they know what they want. They want to win this PvP stuff because they've already had the like low level grinding resources.
So there's 2,000 people in this server.
Yeah.
So there's roughly 700 people per faction.
No, online at a time. There's far more people in the purple faction. So like the server can only hold 2,200 people on the map, or rather, the map can only hold 2,200 people. Otherwise, it tends to get just like too many players in the areas.
Okay, so there could be thousands of people in green. Tens of thousands.
Yeah, there could be 10,000 people. That would be a lot, but there could be 10,000 people in green theoretically.
Right, probably not
because they would actually lock the server. But you know,
right.
What you're getting at is accurate.
But so let me ask this, which is when they need to really fight, can they conscript you to fight?
Yeah, but again, because the fights are limited to 50v50, they don't want me.
I understand. Sorry.
The massive player base doesn't help win the wars. The massive player base helps win the war because you have more people willing to donate gold, which, by the way, is another reason that I don't want to join the factions because I'm spending my gold on, like...
Maple trees.
On, like, building my stupid stuff in my house and buying resources when I need them so that I can do this.
Are you going to be pissed off if someone comes into your house and, like, pillages it?
No, they can't.
Oh, they can't?
No, they can't.
Holy shit, like, what type of fucked up game is this?
So, what you're getting at, like, when this game came out, originally when it was pitched, this game was like, when you die, you drop all of the gear you have on you. And, like, so if you die, like, PvP is always turned on, so anyone can kill you at any time, just take all of your shit. But I think I went over it last time where it's just, like, it's so negative. Like, if that happened to me now, even though my gear is not great, if somebody killed me and just took all of my stuff, I would 100% just stop playing the game.
Right. So you have like, a Switch, which says you can't fuck with me.
No, there's no Switch. It's like they took that aspect out of the game. They tried to change it in a way that like if you kill someone now, they have a chance to drop gear. So it's like maybe they'll drop a weapon or something, but it's not that person's gear.
Right.
They just have a chance to drop an item now.
Wait, you can farm players? That's really...
Yeah, it's a neat feature because they want people to turn on PvP.
I understand.
It sounds
like a great like place for griefing though.
I haven't seen really any griefing.
What the fuck is griefing?
Just when you're being harassing people, like killing someone over and over and over and over and over and stopping them doing it. From like if I had PvP turned on because say, you earn more experience points and so you'll level up, you're logging faster. So if I wanted to log faster, it would effectively be 10% faster if I turn PvP on because it's 10% bonus, which, you know, if it takes 50 hours to get your logging to level the max level, which is 200, 10% of 50 hours is a reasonable chunk. I would be willing to do that. But also, like, you have to take into account the amount of time that someone could potentially kill me and send me back to town and I have to run back to where I was.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, so basically newcomer is like...
And if somebody just kept killing someone over and over, like imagine,
lose anything when you die?
No, you lose a bit of durability on your gear. You have to repair, which gets expensive later on. XP? But it's not. No,
so it's basically like.
But imagine if you had a group of purples that said, "Rainer in this town, right?"
Yeah, yeah.
So this is something that does happen in the game, right?
Right.
So you have to turn PvP on to do like some player versus player missions, some PvP missions. So they force you to turn the system on if you want to help your faction. You have to...
Like, fuck up the other team.
Yeah, you can't just go and declare war on another faction. You need to basically earn the right to do it by doing missions for your faction in their town, and you'll slowly fill up the ability to declare a war on them. So, but the fastest way to do that is to turn PvP on and do these missions that are in their territory, with player versus player on, and then you can't fast travel. You have to run around between the areas. So it basically gives the people that hold the territory the ability to kill you to stop doing those missions.
As
so
you're sabotaging the towns?
Yes, you're slowly sabotaging the towns. So what you could do, if green was trying to take a town from purple, and purple found this out because there was a lot of greens in this town, that's weird. There's so many of them in this town right now. They can't attack anyone in the town, but as soon as they leave the town, you can attack them. And so if they're all leaving and leaving in one direction, you know what they're doing. So that's when you get like your group of like purple people and sit at the front of the town and blockade them and stop them from doing being able to do that.
Because they're going to sabotage the town somehow.
Yeah, by just doing missions in your town. And it shows that they're probably trying to build up reputation so that they can declare a war in your town. Like, imagine it like they're helping the townsfolk and swaying them to their side. Right. So they're like, yeah,
right.
Maybe we will let you in. This is actually quite realistic to real life, right?
Because in real life, you can't just go to a farmer and say, hey, I'm going to steal your property and burn your...
The difference, though, is that the griefing part comes into it when... Griefing is when, like, imagine if you had that group of purple people, but you were coming out of town and you just wanted to do your PvP missions, maybe, or maybe you just wanted to log, but you wanted that faster experience, so you had your PvP turned on, and they just killed you over and over and over again. And like, there's no threat to greens in this town. The bar's fucking zero. No one is doing these missions. That like, no one's trying to take the town. But you have this group of players that's just like, man, this idiot keeps trying to log. Fuck this guy. We are going to kill him. And I don't care if we're sitting here doing literally nothing for 2 hours. Right. We are going to stop him leaving that town with the PvP turned on. But the solution to that is you just turn the PvP off.
Understood. I think we've got to wrap this thing up, basically. Yeah. But yes, please play New World and tell us whatever new phenomenon that you're seeing.
I feel like I have experienced everything the game has to offer. I haven't done the PvP, but I roughly know what it is.
You gotta join a war and some shit. You gotta do like a Leroy Jenkins, or you gotta like backstab your own team. Or do something that like brings some...
Well, I'm still content to just like...
Bring some...
I have a dog.
Drama.
I have a dog that sits on the porch of my house now. His name is Barkamedes.
In the fucking game?
Yeah.
Right. Does that, like, why? Does it give you points? Or
nah,
like...
he's just a cool dog.
It's a fucking dog.
Sitting on my porch.
So if someone kills your dog, you'd be really fucking pissed off.
They can't kill it. It's in the town.
But if they'll give them the option.
Yeah, of course. You're gonna probably, you know, bomb Amazon headquarters in Seattle.
I don't know about that. I didn't endorse that. But...
Like, how pissed would you be?
I'm not actually attached to dogs.
Not at all? His name is Barkamedes.
I like the name. The name is really good.
Did you name it?
No, the name was there. It's like, it's a dog that I met in the wild. I gave him some bones.
And then he just started following you?
Yeah, so then he came back to my house.
Wait, the dog named himself Barkamedes?
Well, he was just called Barkamedes.
Naturally.
I mean, they had to... His name wasn't like unknown stray dog. His name was Barkamedes. And it's like, that's a good name for a dog, sure.
This is hilarious.
Wait, what else is named in the wild then? Surely not all animals.
So you were
names.
Just... Wait.
No.
You were just roaming around doing your own shit and suddenly you gave them... You saw this dog?
He had a quest.
He had a quest?
Yeah, he gave me a quest to get the bones for him. So I got him the bones.
Oh.
And now he's my dog. And he sits on my porch.
Is he going to help people's porches as well?
Yeah, other people can have it.
Uh-huh,
alright. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Other people can steal him?
So he's not
No, other people can have their own dog.
As an NPC that you can recruit as a, like, a decoration.
Yeah. Sort of thing. It's a decoration for the house is the best way to describe it.
Oh, so he's not, like, an animal you can send off to, like, kill people for you and, like, shit?
No.
Oh.
Like, that could be stuff that they could introduce into the game, but it would be a lot of systems that need to add.
Right, so you just have a fucking dog.
Yeah.
Right.
His name is Barkamedes.
I understand. I fucking understand.
Sits on my porch.
Holy fuck.
Man, you must make it seem like Barkamedes was a unique creature. I would be much more like interested.
He is a unique creature. He's my Barkamedes. There are many other like him, but this one is mine.
Yeah, but you're not gonna go bomb, you know, Amazon headquarters if someone killed him. So
obviously it's just not a thing. It's hard to comprehend because it's like what you're saying is like, hey, what if the game was a different game? What would you do? And it's like,
yeah.
I don't know. It would be a different game.
Yeah. Alright, guys.
You'll keep Barkamedes around until Barkamedes the second comes around.
There is a Barkamedes. I've seen a Barkamedes, which is the same Barkamedes, but it has like a little hood. on him. And I'm like, oh man. And then like a little scarf.
And... which makes him just that much better.
Yeah. Well, no, I think he's something else. Because he's I think he's not Bakamedes, but maybe Bakamedes 2 or something.
Yeah, that makes
but,
sense.
But Bakamedes the second, because I've seen a house that had Bakamedes and Bakamedes the second, so I definitely want Bakamedes and Bakamedes 2.
Mm.
But I gotta fish, so I gotta work on fishing first.
Well, why are you fishing?
To increase his fishing proficiency. To get better at fishing.
Literally.
What do you mean?
Like, in the game, if you get better at fishing, what do you get?
More fish, ideally. You
get better at fishing! He can cast his rod further or some shit!
I get reagents, basically.
What do you mean by reagents?
Reagents.
That's like chemicals.
Yeah, like stuff, because I can gut them and take like fish eyes, and I can make a potion with these fish eyes.
Right.
Also gutted them, where I can take this fish fillet, and I can use this fish fillet for cooking. And I can make a meal that will give me a bonus while I'm running around in combat.
Alright, I can't believe I'm this much immersed in a fucking video game.
The thing that the game does with all of those crafting and gathering system is it links them all together in good ways.
Yeah. To be honest, this just feels like me talking to an actual fisherman in real life, which is, I don't really understand where they're going.
I have like a hat and my like wading fisher boots.
That's exactly what a fisherman would tell me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does it increase your fishing proficiency?
Yeah.
Mm. Is there a set bonus? Please tell me there's a set bonus.
There's not a set bonus.
Sash. All right.
Maybe. There might be set gear in the game. I haven't actually seen it. I'm not high level.
I mean, have you finished all the dungeons yet?
No. I'm not even capped.
Yeah, so you haven't finished exploring the whole world then?
No. Okay. There's like...
You've explored enough?
I've explored like 15% of the world, maybe. It's a pretty big map, and a lot of it I can't go to because enemies will, you know, just kill me if I go anywhere near them.
Okay. Had anyone hit cap yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, people hit cap in a few hours.
What the fuck?
The guy that hit cap in like, he hit cap in like 18 hours. And he'd like, again, it's like a guy who played the beta and he's like, I'm going to be the world first person to get to level 60 in New World. And he did it. And I saw a video on how he did it. I was like, oh yeah, cool. I didn't know that was how the system works. Like, just like I saw a guy.
And he filmed himself doing it.
Yeah. I don't know if he filmed himself, but he probably streamed it or something like that. But 18 hours, or I think it was something like that. I think I saw the guy, the first person to hit max level on fishing skill, and I think that took him twice as long as it did to take the guy to hit max, like, character level.
Holy fuck, okay.
Fishing takes a real long time.
I don't know.
So the whole world is populated by people right now. They're like, there's no areas where it's completely empty because no one can...
I've done fishing in high-level areas. It's pretty fucking empty there. I didn't see any players at all.
Oh, alright.
Like, no one's in the, like, level 50, 60 areas.
I think we need to split this podcast where you and Ray bitch about games and talk about games.
Hmm.
And I and you talk about, like, the social politics and the social economy of... Yeah.
Because we start talking about fishing skill and you're like, set bonuses, and like, what the fuck?
Yeah, what the fuck is this? And then Ray and I can talk about, like, random conversation shooting games. Yeah, I think we need to, like, let people know who is in the conversation.
Mm.
Otherwise, you know, all the non-listeners out there is going to go, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's true.
Alright, I'm calling it, but you guys can organize a podcast of your own.
Theoretically, yes. Theoretically,
yeah, just after lunch, just during lunch. So half an hour of, you know, what am I pissed off about today?
If we grab the mic,
I have no idea whether we're recording, actually. Holy fuck.
Damn it, Joe!
I mean, I saw you press buttons at the start. So
Yeah. Holy fucking god. Alright, unfortunately, I gotta call it for today.
Mm.
But, I wanna continue the conversation. New World. Anyways, my name is Joe Delicious, and with me is our historian, Byron.
Yeah, in conclusion, New World has nothing to do with the Amazon rainforest.
And Ray Ray.
But they are trying to promote Prime.
Yes.
Yes. That's what you think. I think it's about Amazonian rainforest.
Yeah, that's okay. You're wrong.
Is the scenery just like at all?
Hit the end button.